ANS, for ANS, Rural Development 401, Cultural Knowledge of Native Elders. And today we will be interviewing Edith Nagia. And our main topic of interest will be whaling. And I'd like to ask that you can share with us the roles, different roles in preparation for male and female. Before and after the whaling, practice begins.
Before the whaling and after the whaling?
Yeah. Okay. After whale is obtained.
Okay. So the roles of the male and the female.
Yes.
Good, I can do that. If that's okay with everybody, I think that's an excellent subject. The role of the whole family, it's a family thing. And the role of not just one person, it's a team effort of many, many people. The role of the captain is to get these men ready and go out and instruct them or let them know, okay, we need skins for the boat. And so they go out hunting for the bearded seal, that's called the uruk. So they go out there and they catch like 7, or it depends on the size of the boat. 7 skins, 8 skins. It could be 12 skins for a really large, big boat. So they do that and then they get their skins ready. Of course, the female's role, the captain's wives or the crew members' girlfriends or wives or sister, niece, you know, they're all involved in this process. So during that time where they're cutting up the bearded seal, they make sure they don't cut the skin. It's very delicate. You have to, when they're taking the blubber off the skin, they're very careful not to, and there's a certain way that they're supposed to you know, prepare the skin. And they, after they take the blubber off, they roll in the flippers, and they, of course, the head's not there, whatever. It's only the skin, so they, there's a certain way, and you put seal or not seal blubber, but the blubber from the bearded seal. So they wrap it up, and then put it where, because it's going to get oily, that seal oil is good. So usually like a something that's going to, container, something that's going to keep that skin intact, because it's going to get fermented. That's the idea of fermenting the skin. So when it's fermented, and another thing is never to, while you're doing that, you're not supposed to let the sunlight get into it. So they get the skin ready and it's all done. So the ladies' role, or the men can do that, they scrape the skin off because it's really easy now to take off. So I'm not going to go into all the details of that, but whaling in the mail, it's a year-round process. They go caribou hunting, duck hunting, fishing, and this is for the celebration, also for the whaling festival, which happens in June. So even way before that, like I said, it's a year-round process for the whaling captain to have everything ready, because his responsibility is to feed the people. So, and I was in the subject of the skin boat. The women sew the skin boat. Sew the skin, and the men put it on the boat. And when it's done, it's like in March, they do that skin sewing and getting the new skin on the boat. And the role of the female a long time ago was, of course, making sure the hunter has warm, you know, they sew the parka, sew the fur pants, sew the muklab. So, like I said, it's a year-round process for the male and the female, the captain and the wife. So it's not just one, like in April, that's when they go whaling. And the captain provides the food down there. And there's good communication between the captain and the wife or the crew members, you know. That's very, very important. And so the roles, they were taught ever since a little boy, 8 years old, when they're able to comprehend, like listen, because sometimes anyone who's down there, it's the captain's choice if they want to train their boy, their son, at an early age. It's their prerogative, you know. And so they are taught. I remember my brother Roy, especially Roy, because he had a bad habit of sleepwalking. So they took him down there. That's okay, that's all right. They tied him up. So yeah, that's okay, that's all right. But now he's a whaling captain and he knows, you know, the process. But common sense, I think they, and the women stay home and take care of the being ready. Because the most important thing in a captain's, I mean, captain's wife or significant other is that your cellar is to be cleaned every day. It's not, you have to clean away before they start cleaning again. You have to give away the excess food you have in the cellar and clean it out. Fresh. I'm talking about a long time ago. They did that and they still do that today. And to keep your cellar clean. Or if you have a modern day freezer, clean it out. And that's what they do. You could hear them talking in March or before whaling starts to give out, you know, whatever they have. And that's the woman's role. And I remember when our dad had a whaling crew, he hunted a lot, he whaled, and he had high respect for the woman that he said, that's the most important, you know, partner in the process of being a hunter or whaler. She is like a boss. You have to listen to what the captain's wife says. So he had high regards to, because there's a lot of work in a woman's role. When you have a whole crew, and they say that the whale knows you're supposed to treat the poor, be kind, do not be abusive towards other people. And that's where the spiritual essence of our whaling comes in, I think. I think I told you, it's on tape, I think, I hope, of when our mom was there and then she passed away, and then we ended up feeding everybody on Mother's Day. That is spiritual essence of our whaling. So the role of the male and the whole family is ongoing. It doesn't stop. And we were just experiencing the all whaling is just a wonderful spiritual, like you hear somebody, you know, they harpoon the whale, wow, and you wait on the VHF, see who, and then you hear them start praying, they got away! That's when, you know, the prayer, when you hear them start praying, and then after the prayer, it's a beautiful, happy occasion. And so we had a very successful fall training, so I think I talked about it earlier, about a flag on top of the house, and everybody goes there to go eat. The captain's wife is very busy with the crew's wives or whoever, like they have daughters or sisters, or everybody's involved, cooking and feeding people. And so it's a lot of work, and they, I have something that I think you should know. It's how you butcher the whale. So Kamich have to crews that help tow the whale, otherwise to the successful crew. That's a belly. Sakik, one side to the captain, one side is used for shares. That's for people who are helping out of the whale. And umiat, meaning this part of the whale. The boats are sure, it's right here. And tafsi, this is the part, half goes to the successful crew, half is cooked and served to public. That's the part there. And orti, that's this part, this is served at the feasts. That's during the whaling festival in June, and also pretty soon Thanksgiving. This is the month of November, and Christmas. So this is the part that is served at the feast, like Nalukata Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so you take a look, Bigilat, Bigilakabel, that's Nalukata Amata. That's a part where visitors come in and join in the whaling festival. And this part is given to those visitors. Usually the whaling captain announces, I think after everybody eats, they announce, okay, visitors come and take a share. That's that part. So, akikak, this is served at the feast, like Nalukatak, Thanksgiving and Christmas. So, talerok, I think, yeah, the flippers, that is a flippers. One side goes to the harpooner, one side used as takon. By all whaling boats, that sometimes they go, they use it down there when they're failing. It's takon, that's what it is. And uchik, half is used for shearers. That's people who cut up the whale, who help cut up the whale. And half is served at the feast, Nalukatak, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And the heart, guman, ingaloak, taktu. The heart, intestines, and kidneys served at the feasts. So during Nalukatak, Thanksgiving and Christmas, but when we go eat, like, a day or a couple of days, it depends on how small the whale is. If it's big, it's like probably a couple of days you go to the captain's house and eat the woman, ingaloak and taktu. Really good delicacies. So that's how it's divided. And the men, the crew members, or whoever wants to go out there and get a share, they give their names to whoever's in charge of the, there's a really good organized process. You cannot just go there and start helping. They have to start together. And you have to give your name to whoever's responsible, like the names of who are helping. And when you're helping, you're not supposed to be like, I'm tired, I'm going home. You do not do that. You have to be there the full, you don't. Unless you're hurt or sick or whatever. But you are required to stay there and finish the job. If you are going to be there helping, cutting up the hair. That's a role of men, but women do, nowadays women do that also, they help cut up the hair. So the role of the male and the female, it's a lot of work, like I said, and before the Thanksgiving, and right now they're probably thawing out the maktab, and they have to cut it up in pieces for the Thanksgiving feast, which is usually at the church. That's what they're doing, thawing out the maktab, and getting ready to greet everybody, during Thanksgiving and Christmas. And they take all those boxes of muckbucks and quark and flippers to the feast, and they're giving out to the people, anyone. It's not just for Inupiaq, it's for everybody. And we encourage everybody to be a share. And that's December, Thanksgiving, December, they feed people. So like I said, it's an ongoing process, it's a year-round process, and you save money because it costs money to get food, get the whaling gun, of course, is like our dad's gun is, you know, to the oldest, which was Robert Aiken, and then they turned it over to whoever wanted to do it, and right now it's my brother, it's handed down, the whaling gun. And the harpoons, of course, those are handed down too, and they have that property mark. And purchasing one, you have to save money for that. The whaling gun, the harpoons, and you pay the women to sew the skin, the skins for the boat, they also have to, that's an expense also for the whaling captain. And so the role of the male is hunting, and the woman preparing the food, cleaning it out. So it's a team effort of the captain and the wife.
I did a little bit of research, and in a book called Eskimo Whaling at Faroe, Alaska. Mm-hmm. It said there was also, you guys have different different names for different kinds of whales that you're gonna hunt. Is this right? Like, you know, look, there's a certain name for a large male in a certain time of the year, or a large female with a calf.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones would you guys focus on?
The bowhead. Imutok. Imutok is the one that we mostly. And I remember Simeon Patkujak caught one with a baby. Mm-hmm. Baby whale inside. So there are certain names for, at the moment I do not know. Very good. That's very good. I highly recommend that you go on the internet, that's, and the books, go to the library, that's a good source to find. And one of you had asked about the commission. I had some information, and I can give it to you on the whaling commission. And so the roles of the captain and the wife or significant other. It's under like common knowledge that the captain, you know, and also the wife or the family, that they take care of the people, they feed the people, and they respect the animals and the land, and that's how it has been with our whaling, you know. And they say never ever fight over a whale, And they did that one year in Dell, and they never got a help for a while, for maybe 4 or 5 years. So it's very sacred. It knows, the whale knows. It seems like whenever somebody loses a loved one, that's a cause for celebration, you know, make everybody uplift their spirit. And it's just, it is a sacred, it's a spiritual essence. It's a sacred animal. So one of the things that I have found out too in my research on the whale, it has a cleaning process in the body. I mean in the whale. It's one of the cleanest mammals. And I said, wow. And it's true, it should be, because it's sacred to our people, to the India.
Just kind of a question that kind of popped up to me. Like you showed us this diagram of the whale,
mm-hmm.
And is there one part of it that's said to be like tastes better or more valuable than the other? Because like when we hunt for deer, uh-huh. We say the back strap is the best part.
Uh-huh.
Is there like a best part of the whale that you say? Or that is.
I can't say that the whale overall is the best part. Especially when it's freshly caught and they cook it and you smell it and you can't wait to get a bite out. It's really soft. It's like veal or something. You know, it really tastes so good. And so, the delicacy of the elders, that's, what do they call that? Mikiak, yes. That's also the delicacy of the elders. Fermented whale meat, it's really good. And we know who makes it just so that you're, you know, it tastes really good. And I was going to say, my brother had, while my mom was alive, they had caught a whale, but it went down, it got lost, and on the third day it rose. They could only eat the maktak, and that's a delicacy for elders. They really like that. They could only eat the maktak. They can't, because it's loaded, or, I mean, it's not, no good. So, the best part of the whale, the heart is good too. And the kidney is very chewy. We call them raisins, right? The kidney. They have little round things. We used to call them raisins. And there's this part when you take apart the baby, we call it what is that? Mama. Oh man, when it's like in the seal oil or the whale oil, it's really good. It's really good. After you take it off and then you cut it up and put it in the whale oil, that's very good. You have to age it. Leave it in there for a while.
The baby?
No, not the baby.
Oh.
When you take apart the baleen one at a time, there's that white part on the bottom. It comes from this part. Sokak. They call it sokak. It's baleen. They call it baleen. So when you take it apart, when you take apart the baleen, there's that white part on the bottom. On the bottom. Huh? The gum. Yeah, the gum. The gum of the of prayer. That part, it's really good. And they used to call it long time ago, I think, gum. Eskimo gum. So that's I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Really good eating. And we share, and thank God we find each other and share. You know, I have already found somebody that I could trade with for dairy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really good. And we don't sell it, except for the artwork of the baby, like, you're not supposed to sell the makta for the meat or anything. You're supposed to share it.
So are beluga whales and gray whales also hunted?
The beluga, yes, in Point Lake. And some at home. That's the one I had talked about earlier about using for medicine. That's the beluga whale. And the gray whale, no. But there's some stories about you have to respect. I don't think it's shark. It's
porpoise.
Huh? No, not porpoise. I think it's not gray whale. Anyway, it's the story that I heard was that it can save you from, you know, if walruses are going to be attacking you. Then I remember a story about this hunter calling out to that gray whale. Or it's not shark. We don't have, huh? No. Anyway, it protects you, and you're not supposed to kill that. And mammal.
Killer whale.
Killer whale. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Killer whale. Thank you very much. I couldn't remember it, but I was going to say, look it up in the internet. Cop out. I don't want. I didn't want anything that is so technological. You know, written. This is from the heart, and what I have experienced. That's the best. I do not want to do a lot of paperwork. It has to be from the heart and from the personal experience. So I remember our dad telling that story about somebody being rescued. He never play with them. They know. You do not play with those because they have, because animals know. I think that's you're supposed to have high respect for those. They can protect you if you're in a situation where you're being attacked by walruses. That's, you know, that has been our culture, was to respect the animals. And the whale knows, that they always say the whale knows how you live your life and how you treat other people, and whether your eye salad is clean or it's not.
How elders, they say that the killer whales think like humans. They're very, very
smart. Yeah. Yeah, very, very smart.
They can read their story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, any other questions from anybody before Good throat. Minnie?
What's your favorite part of the whale? Do you have
a favorite part of the whale? Licking up. Especially made by Maggie Brown. I mean, Amawa. Maggie Brown, Amawa. She makes the best. Yeah.
And that?
That's part? A fermented whale meat. It's like caviar. It's better. Better than caviar.
So is it just the meat?
Uh-huh, yeah. But we put maktak in there. And uchik. That's a... uchik is... that's the tongue. Mm. The tongue of the uchik. And I had forgotten the pilanya. That's when the butchering for all uses is done. The captain gives the go-ahead for anyone to cut and take from portions left. Nothing is wasted. So pilanya is when women, like, you know, go there and get the best part for whale oil, or they know. They know where to get the best part of the whale. So. And also the seagulls are all over the place, cleaning up.
I was actually wondering if you caught the whale with a baby inside it, what you would do with the baby? Like, would you do the same process for bigger whales or smaller whales?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Cool.
Yeah. They cook it, they eat it, similar but productive, right? How would I help? I just came from Lower 48 and I can't wait for our crew to catch a whale. I help clean out the refrigerators, that says it's very important, I think.
Do you guys make anything else to serve?
To serve? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's the sirinak. When the captains are feeding the people, they make the inibiyak fruit. Mm-hmm. We boil the apples and dried fruit. It's really good. And so we make bread, tea, donuts, and also, and the candy part during the lalukuda. That's when we throw candy, because there's a windbreaker, and when they have the big feast during lalukuda. Everybody sit down and eat and be fed. It's a wonderful festival. And you wait, because there's going to be candy from behind coming down. So that, and also when the whaling captains, especially when they go down to the blanket pass, then they throw candy from the blanket pass. Really good. Thank you. So that's a very beautiful, happy occasion when you catch a whale. And when you help, it's really good feeling when you help.
I had read The Gift of the Whale, and it had a lot of photos. It's a really good book from very far away in the town. But there was a section that was real interesting to me, and you touched on it as far as like the whale will give itself to like the hunter that has like the whitest, cleanest parka, the boats, and I don't know, this is probably like more traditional, more long ago, mm-hmm. as far as like the cleanest freezers, who prepared the best, I guess, is what they're trying to say. The cleanest skins on the boat, mm-hmm. Who prepared the most and the hardest and were worthy of the whale giving itself to that country.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the aspect that you're talking about, like cleaning all the food yourself, giving all the food away.
Uh-huh. Yes. Sharing. Mm-hmm. Never be stingy. Like in anything, whether it's a whale, whether it's caribou or fish or anything, you're supposed to be giving. The more you give, the more that you receive. That's how, you know, successful whalers or hunters are. The more you give to people, it comes back to you tenfold. Mm-hmm.
How young do you have to be on a cruise, on a whaling
cruise? Like I said, down there on the ice, mm-hmm. it depends on the captain. If he allows his 5-year-old, 6-year-old, then it's his prerogative. But I think they would prefer somebody who's able to listen, obey, work hard. Usually 8 years old is a good age, I think, for a youngster teaching a child.
You didn't mention any kind of tools that you guys use, but what do you use to hunt the animals?
The whale, the big whale gun, which I mentioned, I'm sorry, I forgot to say the name of it. It's handed down from generation to generation.
That's kept in the family?
Uh-huh, yes. And if it's too old, then you could purchase one. A big whaling gun. And the harpoons are handmade.
Is a whaling gun a harpoon or a bomb?
Pardon?
Is a whaling gun a harpoon or a bomb? Or an explosion?
No, there's two different. There's a gun, mm-hmm. and there's a harpoon with a bomb. Mm-hmm. That's different. So, two different. The gun, it's got a big gun. Yeah.
The bullet?
The bomb.
Yeah, the bomb. That's a, yeah, they call it the bomb. The bullet, the biggest bullet. Yeah, and the harpoon also has a bomb. And the bombs have their mark. And I remember a long time ago, our dad had, they say never fight over the whale. So if several people shot at the whale, I remember our dad said, the one closest to the heart is the one that's gonna get it. Never fight over it. The closest one to the heart, the bomb, you know, close to the heart is the person, the captain's going to get that. Because if several people have shot at it, then that's how it was done. Yes.
I was wondering, you said that everyone in the family has their part, and I was wondering what you remember you have that you did in
I remember. I distinctly remember. Because I remember we had just moved to Barrow and Dad had caught a little whale right there, this one. He just had gotten it. This is the whale that he caught in Barrow Creek. Catch a whale for a while, like 4 or 5 years. And my role, I remember, was We had a wooden no linoleum on the floor, and my role was to mop up the floor after the feast. I remember that role. But there's a lot of hard work. It's all family or crew members, wives or relatives, whatever they come in and help. And in everything.
I was wondering about the whaling feast. Is that different? You said there's a feast in June.
Mm-hmm.
Is that different from when you first get the whale and everybody celebrates and everything? Do you have another feast?
When they first catch the whale, that's a really big, happy occasion. The captain gets his chance to feed everybody, and that's it. And so, that's around April and May. And so, they have a big celebration in June. All the captains that successfully caught a whale, they, if 10 of them caught a whale, then sometimes three people or four people together, they could have celebrations like 3 days. It depends on, the captains who want to celebrate one day together. Or it might be the captain's wife's birthday, maybe. You know, it depends on whose birthday in the month of June. So it's around June 20. Till the 29th, around that time. That's a whaling celebration. Nalukata, we call it Nalukata.
What do you do to celebrate besides eating?
Blanketot. Yes. Blanketot. And also, after the blanketot and the best part of the celebration is to do a small dance.
I was wondering how long it took your brother, how long he was training in becoming a whaling captain?
Ever since he was younger than me, because we moved here when I was 8 years old. So he was less than 8 years old when they took him out to go. I take that back. When he was able to go down there, because they wanted him to learn, and I bet he was persistent in going down there, then that's when they tied him up, because he was always sleepwalking. So, he about 9-10 years old.
And when did he become a whaling captain?
When did he become a whaling captain? I have to ask him.
Was that when your father passed away or before?
When our father passed away, it was turned over to the oldest in the family, and Martha Aikon's husband took over the college, and he was whaling all the time. And then I remember, I think because James was always working here at Furious and everywhere, he was always busy and working. Roy took over the whaling crew, but I don't remember what year that was. But it had always been Robert and Mother Agent's crew, because she's the oldest in the family. And so at this moment, our brother Roy Narayak, and he calls it Akutu Kru. That's his Eskimo name.
Not
to Has it ever been known to, for like women to ever go out and hunt, or is that?
Yes, I've heard stories about this couple having a whaling crew together, the husband and the wife. They were very successful. So they were so successful, they decided to have the husband's crew and the wife's crew. I said, wow, that's awesome. Yes, women, long time ago, should have a crew.
And she did just as well.
Yes, of course. I'm pretty sure. I think it's a matter of sharing. It's nothing you should boast about. That's a big no-no. Because whaling is something to be respected. You don't go around and boast that. You don't do that. It's uncalled for. So humility has a lot to do with whaling and perseverance and spirituality. Keeping touch. Thank you.
I had a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about making the skin boat,
mm-hmm.
you said they fermented that.
Bearded seal? Yeah.
Bearded seal. How long did they ferment it for?
Oh, dear. I haven't had the experience of doing that. More than a week.
More than a week. And is it in a warm place, or what kind of environment is it?
What kind of environment? It can't be in a hot place, I know.
So is it outdoors?
It's in a cool place.
Is it there?
I remember my mom, because they use it for souls too, mm-hmm. you know, for kanits. And I remember mom having it outside in a kanicha. In a where we used to wash our clothes. A tub. And a week and a half, 2 weeks. I don't know, I don't want to give up. But I do remember that by personal experience how mom had always fermented, you know, the seal, the baby seal.
Mm-hmm. And then how do they cut the skins if they're going to sew them together?
Our mom knew, and so she, our sister in turn, knew how to do it. Krishna is very good in determining, because there's a specific way of cutting it for the boat. So
do they have the boat frame there?
No. They're all there with all the skins that are ready to be sewn. 6 or 8, it depends on how big the boat is. So they do the, I've had an experience of, only once, I've had the experience of sewing it. So it's called waterproof. So,
waterproof stitch?
Yeah, waterproof stitch. And it takes all day. One day for the women, starting from the evening, it would go down to maybe 5 o'clock or something like that. It depends on, you know. And so after all the women, like, how many, eight women, yeah, I see more than eight women in that zone, and so they always have the rubber things where they use to what's done there, and the best singer to use was our mom used to make those from the terrible singer. Nowadays they have, I don't know what they do, but the best was always the original terrible singer to sing the so to speak.
And then once they finished sewing, how long after?
Right after.
Did they have to wait or did they put it right on?
No, they put it right on. The men are ready. As soon as the women are done with the sewing, then they take the whole thing and go ahead and tie it up to the post. And I've been this a long time ago. Mom was alive. I had the opportunity to be one of the ladies to see if there was any holes, and then to Edna Levitt had showed me. That was my first time ever, and I want to get back into coming back from Lower 40. I have this, you know, you always have this desire to be back involved.
So after they stretch it on to the boat, how long do they let it dry before they can use it?
They let it dry outside, and it gets white sometimes. And so they leave it out there, outside, They start sewing in March, so that's around March, latter part of March, so they leave it outside until the open water, as soon as it's, you know, as soon as the men are able to go down there and take the boat down, and they wait.
And that's till April?
And they also wait for the open water. You could tell there's a black, you could tell from this open water, there's a black cloud over the ocean.
And then, do they have to change the skin every year?
Not every year. Some people have, because of financial difficulties, they can't change it. They paint over it, and it'll be used for about a year, a couple of years.
So
that.
Is it just both paint?
I do not know. But I know some crews have painted over their boats so that they could use it again. So it's a matter of, you know, the young men, the crew members, able to go down there and the skins. It's hard work.
Mm-hmm. And then, so when you talk about cleaning out their freezers and stuff, does that mean all the food that's done, or just the whale? Like if I had ducks in there or seals, would I have to also get that away?
It's a choice of the captain's wife.
But mostly if it's old whale?
If it's last year's,
And then I was sort of curious about how long the whale meat is fermented.
How long was it? I made a little bucket, I remember.
You put it in a bucket?
It depends. Some of them, Maggie has a really big, huge bucket. He has huge bucket. And you have to take care of it every three times a day. You have to.
Do you cut it into strips or what?
Thin pieces of the whale meat. And also makkaks put in there or uchit. It gives out the, I think that's what gives out the flavor. And you have to take care of it like a baby. Every day, every morning, afternoon, at night, keep, you know, keep it on. So that it won't get dried up. Sometimes when you forget about it, it's dried up on the top. So it's always important that you keep it on.
Stir it up. And then I was sort of curious about when they first catch a whale, can you eat a draw there or not?
No.
How long do you have to wait?
I have one in my freezer right now. We ate some, it was good.
So how, like, if the whale was caught in the springtime, when would you be able to eat it raw?
Raw? Mm-hmm. You have to freeze it.
You freeze it and then?
But some of them, I remember a long time ago when I was a little girl, Mom and Dad would have some in the honey shop, and they would eat it. And then cut some up after a couple of months or so. And it's good. But the first time it's caught, you have to cook it if you want unan. And what we do today is cook it right then and there and then freeze it. Put it in Ziploc bags and save it.
So it's like if the they caught a whale in April and May, and then you froze, you know, some of the makkaks without cooking it. Would you be able to eat it in August?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the study.
Yeah. Like I said, Mom and Dad, when they got a whale, or when anybody got a whale, they would have some in the honey shop. There was no problem after a month, couple of months, or even 6 months later. And it's not frozen. We never had a freezer. We have some. In Point Hope, they call it onion. It's really good. It gets green somehow. Like any, the better, the greener it is, the better it is. That's how it is with walnut, fermented walnut.
And then,
the green it is, the better. And you conquer right after you. if it's even better, I remember eating at a friend's place and she had a potluck like get together. It was really green. And I think we all started giggling. I always tell her, I miss that. We were like high from the fermented way. I mean, walrus. It really relaxes you, and you could have it like a. That's good. Chris!
You can have it like a sleeping.
Well, it's better than sleeping. It's natural.
question is, like, if, you know, pretend I'm the wife of the captain.
Mm-hmm.
And how soon do I start cooking and preparing?
The day they catch it?
The day they catch it, then you start cooking and getting ready for
the day. You're already getting the pots ready and already thinking about, like, you go to the store, get flour and all.
But you don't start cooking until you know your captain has caught the whale? Or can you cook and then
you
catch no whale?
You know what? You have to wait till after they cut it up.
So you start cooking after they know
in
they
the house,
the whale?
They have to wait. It has to be done. Cut up. But at the time it's caught, yes, you could, like, cut a piece out of the whale.
No, but I'm talking about, like, when I was up there, they had lots of houses, captains had caught whales.
Uh-huh.
And I went and they served not only the whale, but they served fried bread and
uh-huh.
that dried fruit
uh-huh.
stuff and other foods.
Uh-huh.
When do they start cooking that?
Oh, when do they start cooking that?
Uh-huh. Can they only cook it if they know that their captain has caught a whale? Or?
Well, you could start on the fruit or the bread, the biscuits or whatever. Donuts.
Because that was a lot of food.
Yeah, they can start. Yes, they can.
Because otherwise they don't cook it if their captain didn't catch a whale. Or can they cook it or bring it to somebody, other captain?
Like they have some people will come by and they're like, hey, can we help you out? And
oh.
they'll yeah. ask if you need help and they'll be like, hey, I have this much and I can help you. And like after you really have to work. And they can start again.
Yeah. And also during Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the whaling crews that they bring soup, they make donuts, everybody brings food. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Okay, good.
I do.
After they could feed people down there, because they go down there right away when they hear somebody catch a whale and they cut a slap from the whale. I was going to show it. It's like this. They cut a slap, something like the smaller, and they could cook it right away and then people could eat it. Just the muscle. But for the whaling captain's wife, there's a certain part of the whale that you have to feed to the people. So they wait for that. They start cooking, boiling. But like what she said, and women, you know, go ask, see if they can help. Yeah. Mm.
All right. With this, we'll wrap up our session. So thank you, Eve, for sharing.
Yeah.
So fascinating.